At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. It is a brand new week as your New Orleans Pelicans are back home for not one, not two, not three. Six games is awesome. Six-game homestand, and it will be a season-defining when all of these games matter. The Pels go 3-1 on their latest road trip, including a victory yesterday in Detroit. This is what it sounded like on the Pelicans Radio Network.
Jose for three. Answers. Great job, Alvarado. Another three, Murphy. Got it.
Heat up, Kenneth.
Straight away.
Kenneth the third. Making the most of his starting.
Flip it, deflected and stolen by Naji.
Oh, nice pass.
Up the floor, Jose. Layup good.
Zion trying to get on the board. Spins left, floats it up. Got the roll, and he is on the board. They leave him alone. Butler spins right, spins left.
Oh, Herb,
leans
nice.
In, and Herb nice. Stuffs the shot. It's a shot clock violation.
Not on Herbert.
Chest it up the floor, Naji Marshall. And he dunked it with a left hand.
Wasn't quite a clean dunk, but we'll take it. Look at Herb flexing.
Jose, two-man game with Jonas. Drives in, running right hand. Floater is good for Alvarado.
Teardropping from Jose.
Jose, whip it left corner, Murphy. Extra pass, CJ. Left wing three.
That's perfect. Great ball movement.
Perfect.
That is great ball movement.
Jose, right corner three.
Splash.
Rinsed. Look at our bench. Jose.
He can shoot it.
111-88 was the final in Miami.
Back up top, Williamson. Swing it to McCollum. He'll go right baseline. Spin left. Fall away 10-footer. Good. Bucket getter getting buckets early. Naji, the uncontested rebound. Outlet to Alvarado.
Alley-oop Zion. Two-hand thunder in Detroit. That is a beautiful pass from Jose Alvarado. It was perfect. And Zion finished 8-0 run. Pels are up 25-10. Turnover number five. Sasser up the floor. Lost it. There's Herb Jones. Another steal. Not on Herb. Up the floor, Hawkins. Get it left corner. Naji sets his feet for three. Good. Heat check, Naji.
Zion left free throw line extended. He has it. Cross court over to Herb.
Right angle three. Nothing but net for Herb Jones.
McCollum. Bounce feed to Z. Kick it to Herb off the curl. Left wing three. Buried. Herbert K. Jones. Zion drives on Fournier, gets bumped, throws it up, got the roll with a left hand, flex that left bicep, Z.
He shall.
Kick it out to Naji, right of the top three. Splash for Naji. His fourth made three of the ball game. And that ties his season high. It's the fifth time he's done it this year. Back and forth dribble, kick it to Z, left angle, back up top McCollum, pop a straightaway three, got another one, Monty Williams takes the timeout, that might be the dagger.
114-101 was the victory for the Pels. Here's head coach Willie Green.
I like that we were really sound defensively. We forced them into some tough shots. These games can be tough sometimes. last game of a road trip. They have guys out, but I like the fact that our group, we did what we needed to do on their home floor and took care of business.
Zion Williamson led the team with 36 points. His thoughts on the victory.
We executed when we needed to. Whenever they went on runs, we countered it with a run right back.
Pels don't get that win without C.J. McCollum continuing to play well. Five threes for him as he finished with 23 points. Zion on C.J. McCollum.
Scoring. I think that's just naturally like who he is. But C.J.'s such a great teammate and a great leader that, you know, when the team asks him, when coaches ask him to facilitate, he'll do that. But I went to C.J. like, hey, man, cut that out. I need you to score. He's been doing it.
So as I mentioned, a six-game homestand begins tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Head coach Willie Green on the expectation level for that.
First is to get back home, get a little rest, and then get ready to go. We want to take care of home court. That's the biggest thing for us is focus on one game at a time, focus on one opponent, and let's try to attack it from that perspective.
And as for Zion, how is he feeling heading into the six-game homestand?
I feel great, and I'm having fun. And in terms of stacking my days, it's just doing all the little things. Recovery, extra recovery, conditioning and extra conditioning. And then more in practice, just bringing a high intensity so that my body can be used to that.
All right, Tom, now to bring in Jim Eichenhoff for New Orleans Pelicans.com. Sir, it was so nice yesterday being out and about, seeing fans here as well. Friday was out and about. We were at Wrong Iron. It was so much fun just to see, but more importantly, get those wins. You wanted to get that split in Florida, didn't get the win in Orlando, but this team bounced back. That was a tough back-to-back win for them to go through and do that. What impressed you the most about that win at Miami?
Just the grittiness, the toughness, the intensity. I wasn't surprised to see any of those, though, based on you could tell how much motivation that players like Jose Alvarado and Najee Marshall had going into the game, specifically against the Heat. And obviously, there's a good reason for that. They both were suspended from the altercation that happened last month in the Smoothie King Center against Miami. So they brought what they always bring to the court, but I mean, they may have even taken it to a different level in that game. So, yeah, that was a great win. The fact that the Pelicans went 3-1 on the road trip, I think we kind of looked at that as maybe kind of the goal. You know, obviously you want to try to win all four, but if you're gonna win three, I think the fact that they split the Florida road trip and they got the Miami game but not the Orlando game, I think I preferred it that way based on all of the circumstances that went into the Miami head-to-head.
No doubt. And I think one of the things, Jim, you look at too is you just mentioned those two players, and it's crazy to think that we will look back at the 3-1 road trip. We look back at where this team is still currently in fifth, same as when they left, which we'll get into the importance here as well. But you're right. Maybe do we start the success on that road trip based on the bench, not Zion, not CJ, not Trey filling in for Brandon after he goes down with an injury, which, again, that started the beginning of this road trip here as well. But it's crazy when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially the weekend, the two wins they got on the weekend, considering that on Thursday was the game against Orlando where Brandon Ingram got injured. So all of a sudden, you're in a situation where one of your best players is sidelined. You know you're not going to have him for at least the next couple weeks. So the bench was so huge in the wins against Miami and Detroit. I thought, too, that, and Willie Green addressed this a little bit after Friday's game against Miami, they were a little tentative in the first few minutes of that game. The first quarter, I forget what it was, but it was something like, I don't know, 6-4 after 5-6 minutes of that game played. Or actually, the Heat were up by, I think, a few buckets in the beginning. It just seemed like the Pelicans were kind of feeling their way through, like, okay, we don't have Brandon Ingram now, so how do we work this?
Right.
But after the sluggish start that they got off to in that game, Jose and Najee came in and just immediately gave them an energy boost. Larry Nance was big as well. I noted Friday, too, that Willie Green only used 8 guys, so it was really those 3 off the bench in his rotation. But, I mean, it's been the case all season. I know C.J. McCollum after Sunday's game on post-game radio also said, I think we have the best bench in the NBA, and I think that continues to be proven over time that when the starters get off to a slow start, those guys come in and change the game in New Orleans' favor. And a big reason why lately, over the last bunch of weeks, the Pelicans have had a ton of 20-plus point wins is because when the starters do play well, the bench is just adding to that lead. They're not letting up at all. They're taking a 10-12-point lead and turning it into a 25-point lead and eventually a double-digit win. So the bench has been so instrumental in not only New Orleans being one of the best teams since the All-Star break, but consistently winning games by a good margin. You know, one quick fact, too, they haven't played in a game that's been decided by less than 8 points since the All-Star break, win or loss. So that's kind of interesting, yeah.
Really?
They haven't played every single game that has been a win or loss by 8 points or more. Obviously,
We've had clutch games, though.
There's been times where at some segment in the last 5 minutes, it got under 5 points, so that counted as a clutch game. But in terms of the final score, they haven't had any game decided by 8 points or less than 8 points.
Since the All-Star break.
Since the All-Star break.
So before the All-Star break was the last time there was a game decided by less than 8 points. That's
I believe I'd have to double check this, but I'm pretty sure I was looking up this yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that the San Antonio game where Zion Williamson had the game-winning basket, that was early February, that was the last time that they played in a game that was decided by less than 8 points.
114-113.
Yes, sir.
There it is. The next one was 138-100, 117-106. I can go on and on. But you're right. It's crazy when you think about it from that standpoint. Look at Jim Eichenhofer. This is why we love you.
They did have a 7-point game against the Wizards that was right before the All-Star break. So that was the only other one that was less than eight over these last couple months. That is crazy. I've been here for a while. I definitely have never seen that before. The only thing that I might have closest seen this is a pretty bad Hornets team that had, you know, a bunch of losses by that kind of margin, but maybe a win or two sprinkled in. But, you know, this is very rare that you see this.
Something else we haven't seen in a while, Jim, and it's something that we've been bringing up in our podcast routinely here since we started. We haven't seen the team be able to handle things such as losing a key component of your team. Actually, we've seen it very routinely be where if they do, you know, oh boy, right? And when you go back to that 24-hour stretch, Jim, I don't think we can overstate what Thursday, Friday felt like. First off, the game wasn't going well. And then B.I. goes down early third. The mood, I mean, you heard the players in the locker room. The mood changed. They sounded sorrowful. They were hopeful, but they were fearful. And then Friday, you kind of got some idea that, hey, he was in good spirits and things of that. You know, Graf is like, look, he's smiling. And you wouldn't think that if there was season ending. And this is before the MRI came out. And then the MRI comes out. It almost feels like a burden was sort of lifted off the shoulders of this team by the way they went out and played, because you heard then the players after the game of Miami say, we got you. We're going to go hold down the fort, right? And look, it's still going to be 2 weeks until you get reevaluated. He will miss the entire homestand. Final game of the homestand is when he will be reevaluated. That's the Spurs game on the 5th. But still, that I don't know if they handle that the way they did. And so I think it shows depth physically in terms of your team. But can you touch on the mental aspect? How much has this team grown mentally to be able to handle it?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I feel like obviously, this team is across the board a little bit more experienced than they were last year. You've had the same group of guys now. This is pretty much the third year that a lot of these players have all been together on the same team, whether you're talking about the guys who came in 2021 through the draft or undrafted with Jose, Trey, and Herb, and then Jonas Valanciunas also came in, and it's also Willie Green's third year here. So I do think that there's been some maturation and some development from that standpoint. I mean, also think about what a difference between this season and last season, because last season really the injuries was really what took everything down. They were in first place into the beginning of January. All of a sudden, they had a bunch of injuries, and they weren't able to sustain even close to the level of play that they had. They had a 10-game losing streak that really kind of derailed everything. And I think a big difference, too, between this season and last season is, yeah, you have Brandon Ingram out and you have Dyson Daniels, but it's not five guys out all at the same time the way it was, I think, for part of that losing streak last year. So, and even the beginning of the season as well, there's a certain amount of, I feel like there's like a critical mass of this many guys out you can't overcome. Like, you can play 500 ball maybe, you can kind of hover around competitiveness, but right. I mean, there's no team in the league that if you just take out all of these guys, they're going to look the same. I mean, even on a different level, the Detroit team that we saw yesterday, like, you just can't compete with that a number of guys that are out, whether they didn't have Cade Cunningham or Jalen Duren, so on and so forth. But I mean, we've seen repeatedly with this team this season that if you have a couple guys out, there's plenty of depth that can overcome that. There's enough versatility from different players. No one guy is going to be able to replace what Brandon Ingram does. It's impossible. But you can get a little bit of scoring from here and there. You can get a little playmaking from other guys. You can get some defense from different players. And all of a sudden, you know, you're still able to keep your head above water and even win a bunch of games, even though you don't have some of your main players on the court.
One of the things I also want to touch on here as well, Zion Williamson. The trip to Florida, you heard the Graf say it yesterday before the game. He just needed to get out of the state of Florida, right?
Yeah.
Against Orlando, he did finish with 20 points. If you just look at the box score and just his point total, you're like, okay, we won a terrible game. And yeah, you could excuse it. Hey, look, Brandon Ingram and all that. And they did something very interesting on how they defended him. You and I talked about that on Friday, and we talked a little bit about how I think those two games is a real-world snapshot, film study, case study, however you want to use it, that this staff is now going to be able to prep for, get ready for. And then you look at these three games here. You got, you know, OKC, Boston, and
Milwaukee
mm-hmm. that are very good there at the top. Good coaches as well. Mm-hmm. You're going to know before you get to the postseason how they're going to play you, how you need to do things, and all that nature. But when you look at Zion, the thing that impresses me, and it's very easy to see the 36 points last night. It's easy to see the alley-oop. It's easy to see his smiling, the shot blocking. You know, Jim, what impresses me? He didn't force it.
Yeah.
He didn't mm-hmm. force it. He didn't play good against Orlando. He had 8 turnovers. Now, B.I. goes out. You're handling the ball more. So I can understand that.
Really good defensive team.
5 turnovers mm-hmm. against the Heat.
Same thing. Yep. Good defensive
4 points. Mm-hmm. 4 points. He didn't play the fourth quarter. Willie Green said after the game, the guys we had in were working. And they won, and they were winning, and they were doing well in the fourth quarter. I don't know many NBA stars, superstars, names that have the kind of game that they did, don't play the fourth quarter, and on an Instagram or something on, you know, right. by the time the game mm-hmm. comes on
or making
Sunday.
A comment to the reporters afterwards.
And even yesterday, I didn't feel like he forced it, right? Mm-hmm. There were layups, they were there, he called for it, he still did his stuff, part of the unit and the team, and afterwards, like, man, CJ had it going. It wasn't even about himself. I just don't know in a 3-game stretch how many guys that would lead SportsCenter with the highlight have that game a stretch. Bells win 2 of those 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you honestly would know it by his demeanor. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I think that shows a ton of maturity, man.
For sure. It's interesting, too, because you always hear players say, the only thing I care about is winning. And you kind of say, like, for a lot of guys, it's they say that, but really what they mean is, I only care about winning as long as I get my numbers and I get my credit and I achieve the status individually that I deserve and think that I should be getting. But I think he's so repeatedly over and over again lately said, the only thing I care about is winning, that, I mean, you have no choice but to believe it just based on the way that he's played. And like you said, he was totally fine sitting the fourth quarter of the Miami game. I posted a picture, tweeted a picture of him and Brandon Ingram kind of smiling and looking out to the court mm-hmm. during the fourth quarter of that game, just kicking back and relaxing. I think they enjoyed the heck out of watching what Jose and Najee did in that game, as well as some of the other role mm-hmm. players. For them to be able to secure that win and for those two guys to be able to just chill on the sideline and kick back. I mean, I think that was a lot of fun for them, even if Zion didn't have great stats in that game.
Yeah, there it is. I like that a lot. So you kind of get something out of that. Something else I want to touch on, too. So we've touched on B.I. and the importance, obviously, what that was like. And on Friday's podcast, we've kind of touched on other guys that needed to step up. We started this podcast mentioning the bench got to be something. Trey Murphy also here as well. Something else that stands out to me is C.J. McCollum, man. 23 points in the game yesterday. Another nice night from beyond the arc. So I saw this stat on social media. The last five games from deep for C.J. McCollum, and it's 6 of 12, that's 50%, 4 of 8, that's 50%, 3 of 6, 50%, mm-hmm. 6 of 12, 50%, wow. Last night, 5 of 9, 50%. Mm. You'll take somebody shooting 50% yeah. beyond the arc.
Especially on that volume. Yeah, you'll love that. Yeah, he shot 51% from three last week, which during the road trip they went 3-1. He was 52% from the field, averaged 5.5 assists a game, averaged 21.8 points. So he was huge, and it seemed like the Sunday game against Detroit was a good example of this too. He gets off to a poor start. Trey Murphy did as well, mm-hmm. shooting-wise, but then in the fourth quarter, he made 3 3-pointers, and it was like any chance that Detroit has to think about hanging around and trying to win this game is out the door because he's making big shots. So he's done that a bunch of times lately and been another big reason why they've had such a good record since the All-Star break.
So there's a method to my madness. There's a reason why I'm bringing all these different up and we kind of gone in order here. 11 games remain. Now is the time that we take a look at the standings on the podcast because that's what we do. We start with Jim last night. I'm not saying. Can I get fined? I'm not officially somebody that can be fined.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think you're good.
Even if I did, you know what? Jim, you and I can start some sort of
GoFundMe?
Yeah, something mm-hmm. like that. I was going to go another way, but yeah, we'll do that. You didn't happen to watch the Lakers game yesterday, did you?
I did.
Or at least the box score.
I did.
I happened to at least see the box score.
I know where you're going
the
now
box
when you said
the
box
score.
They
took on the Pacers.
I watched the game.
Would you say the Pacers are a good team?
Yes, they're a good team.
They're not a bad team.
I know you're going with this. You're going with free throws.
First off, what's amazing is I felt like they've been playing there forever, and I saw one of their reporters. They did have just a 6-game homestand, so the Pels are right now.
Mm-hmm.
8 of their next 11, or their last 11, are on the road, though, for the Lakers. Little tidbit for you.
Good.
Including here in New Orleans to end the season. What's remarkable, though, in a 5-point game last night, what was it 150 to 145?
150 to 145, yeah.
That's a high-scoring game, by mm-hmm. the way, just letting you know. Lakers free throw attempts to the Pacers free throw attempts. Again, this should be not shocking at all to you. 43-16. When you count the made baskets, 38 points came from the charity stripe for Los Angeles, 9 for the Pacers in a 5-point game. Apparently, Austin Reeves had 6 straight free throw attempts inside the last 2 minutes to seal that game, again, in a 5-point game. The only reason I'm bringing this up is not to say the NBA or anybody else is cheating. What I'm getting at is this. They're not going to be in the play-in. I mean, there's no way it's going to happen. They're going to be 9, but that same reporter that posted how many games they're playing, Jim,
mm-hmm.
he broke it down in terms of the Kings and the Mavericks and the tiebreakers they got and how many games they still got with them. He, a guy that covers the Lakers, said, realistically, they will be 9. I'm just saying, you're just saying, those Pel fans out here. I just like hearing they're in a 9 or 10 right now. You know,
for sure.
You know how it mm-hmm. is. There's still fear. They're going to be right there behind us. They're
right.
going to, you know, I
mm-hmm.
look, the Warriors have got issues. They got a game lead on the Rockets.
Incredible.
It may not be the mm-hmm. Lakers and Warriors. It may be the Lakers and Rockets. You don't think Dylan Brooks versus LeBron in that play-in is going to be interesting.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
So, but again, this is what we do every podcast from here on out. Let's just start from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
What is the game separation with 11 to go, Pelicans to 10, the very last?
It is 7.5 now.
That's with 11 games to play.
Right.
Are mm-hmm. you comfortable in saying?
Very comfortable, yes.
At 9, the Lakers are
5 games. Yep. Pretty comfortable. Pretty comfortable.
Okay, yep. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The Lakers guy's comfortable in saying it's going to be the ninth seed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, Pels fans hear that. The reason I bring that up and I'm pausing there is because we just went through, you lost to B.I. in a stretch. You had a back-to-back against a really good team. You had two guys off the bench bounce back. Zion couldn't have played worse in a stretch in the state of Florida. 8 turnovers one night, 5 another, and then he drops 36. Gus, it's the Pistons, not the... I understand that, but you got the win. You went 3-1. My point is, for the Pels to drop to 9 or 10, Jim, they're going to have to do something I haven't seen this season, right? Would you agree with me on that point?
For sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, if they can play even 500 ball from here out, if they go 6... I mean, even going 6-5 gets them to 50 wins, okay. Which...
And that's what I was trying to get at here. This homestand, if you go 3-3, it just makes it teams to supplant you, I guess is what I'm getting at, right?
Right.
And again... The Suns, the Kings, the Mavs, the Lakers, the Warriors, they all have to win on the nights that you lose. That's what I'm getting at.
Sure.
So it's just a lot to do in a little amount of games.
We're very close. I don't think we're there yet, but we're very close to start looking at magic numbers as far as, you know, once it gets down to 2-3. They're not quite there yet, even in terms of the post, like just getting into the postseason. And by that, I mean top 10. But I do think on a, maybe on Wednesday's show or Friday's show, we will be at that point where we can start saying, like, okay, they win one more game and they're in the top 10. They win 3 more games and they're in the top 8. It's getting there. We're getting close.
So you look at the Mavericks and the Kings, and look, it's crazy. Depending on what night it is and I watch a game, they're all playing really well. Look, the Mavericks 8.5 back, Kings 8.5 back. That's 8-7 at 6 of the Suns at 8 back. Your Pels are 2. So, again, it's still that 4-team race, I think, for 5-6. And all of that. That's why, to me, again, just looking ahead at this homestand, Jim, I know you like to do this in our radio roundtable. So how about I throw this at you, Way? Of the 6 games, what is the absolute most crucial game you have got to win? To me, it's Phoenix.
Yeah, it's definitely Phoenix. I mean, based on the fact that you're 2 games ahead of them right now, the tiebreaker is still up in the air because Phoenix is up 1-0 in the season series. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that you're playing, you still have 2 more games against them, but one of them is home. That, I think that makes it even more important, the fact that you still have to play them in Phoenix after this game on April 1st. So, yeah, I think that's a no-doubter that you go with Phoenix is the most important game of the 6 on this homestand.
How big would it be to start tomorrow night, the homestand, with the win against a team right now tied for first?
Yeah, I think that would be huge as well. That'd be a great
time. Sorry, they're a half game back. Sorry.
Yeah, half game behind Denver. Yep. Yeah, I mean, to set the tone for the homestand. I mean, think about this too. This is something that I'm writing about today. Over this week, which is OKC, Milwaukee, Boston, you're playing against the team that OKC has the 3rd best record in the league. Milwaukee has the 5th best record in the league, and Boston has the best record in the league. So, 1st, 3rd, and 5th are coming to the Smoothie King Center. So if you can beat the 3rd best team in the league right off the bat in the game against the Thunder, I think that would be a very good omen for, you know, hopefully that you can just keep beating good teams on this homestand, win a bunch of games, and put yourself in great position where you'd have 5 left after this homestand.
Look, they're 7-3 in the last 10. Pelicans are 8-2 in the last 10. Suns are 7-3. Kings are 7-3. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like
Mavs
all these
7-3.
Yeah, it's incredible. Look at, and there's Denver 8-2. They're starting to really look like they did last year here as well. And the T-Wolves, give them credit, losing, you know, Carl Anthony Towns. I thought they were going to lose more often than not. They're 7-3 in their last 10 and on a current 2-game winning streak. Anthony Edwards is absolutely an MVP candidate. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is an MVP candidate. Jokic is an MVP candidate. Some have him as the favorite. Jim, I just mentioned the top 3 teams in the West with an MVP candidate. That's how tough the West is right now.
Yeah, I mean,
think about that.
Yeah, I mean, these are quality teams, and like you said, the fact that Minnesota's still been able to keep winning without Towns has really helped them. I thought that it was possible at one point that they might drop below the Clippers, but then they had a great comeback win against them. And instead of losing ground to the Clippers over this last stretch, they've gained games on them, and they're still in the race for first in the Western Conference. They're only a game behind Denver. So, I mean, they still could pull that off as well. I'm really interested to watch, too, how this plays out between – Denver, OKC, Minnesota, those three teams only separated by a game, to see where they're where they fall, because obviously that's going to affect a ton in terms of the matchups in the first round of the playoffs. 1 and 2 are going to play teams that come out of the play-in tournament. The 3 seed is going to play 6. So it's really interesting right now. There's just so many things at stake and so many things on the line over these last 3 weeks of the regular season.
It's crazy when you look at it. Well, again, we got a lot to get into as the games continue. It is the final 11-game stretch, and if you're a Pels fan, I'm just telling you the blender's going to be bumping these next 6 games. It's going to be awesome. Again, I would love for that Laker game to not really matter. I'd love that Warriors game to not matter, the Kings game, but we don't know. Got to take every game at a time. You do. You legit have to take every game 1 game at a time. You do.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, some of these teams, it's interesting, too, because on this homestand, I feel like everyone other than the Spurs has a ton to play for. I mean, the Spurs are out of the race.
Right.
They're one of the few teams across the whole NBA that has been eliminated from postseason contention completely. But, I mean, OKC, we just talked about, they have a chance for the 1 seed. Milwaukee's in a battle right now for, you know, 2 and 3 in the East. Boston actually is, you know, this is interesting, too, we should mention. Boston, I believe, has a magic number of 1 to clinch the 1 seed in the East.
Well, hopefully that happens before.
Right. Yeah. I'd say there's a pretty good possibility considering they have a couple games.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
They play in Atlanta twice this week. So if they can win one of those games or have another outcome go their way, actually even just Milwaukee losing to the Pelicans on Thursday would do it as well.
Yeah.
So and then the Suns, huge race that we talked about. Orlando has a chance for home court advantage in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking, this is actually, to me, I'm writing about this a little bit as well today. It'll probably be posted by the time this podcast is out. This is one of the most interesting homestands, I think, in the history of the franchise. I mean, since I've been here, which
it's
covers...
It's a playoff homestand.
Yeah, it really is.
It is a legit playoff homestand. And you mentioned the Spurs game at the very end. Wembanyama's been playing really well. That's a Popovich team. They're looking at those games as, hey, you're playing a playoff caliber team. This is a learning experience. This is how good it can sort of be. What do we need against this team? Look, they're not looking at it as, let's just get this season over with. Not with that guy and not with that coach. So you're right. There are no gimmies at all, I think, on this homestand.
I mean, the Spurs are still at the point where they're just trying to make progress. They know, obviously, they can't make the postseason.
Sure.
But they are making incremental strides, I think, lately. They're winning more games. They're looking more like a team that you have to be worried about when you play them, as opposed to earlier in the season where it was like they were constantly losing games by 25, 30 points. So, yeah, I think it's a little unprecedented that you have a 6-game homestand, which is tied for the longest of the season. You're playing 3 of the 5 best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the 2 number 1 picks from the last 2 years between Banchero and Wembanyama. And then you have Phoenix in between with Durant, Booker, and Beal. So I'm expecting this to be so much fun, and I'm expecting the Smoothie King Center to be maybe not in playoff mode, but we're kind of dipping our toes a little bit in playoff mode over these next couple weeks, Gus.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun for sure. That's your Mike and Offer, Pelicans.com. Quick break. When we come back, it is Monday, which means
it's going to be the player of the week and the player to watch.
I love that. So we'll do that when we come right back. I would like to start our week with a player to keep an eye on here.
Yes, the player to watch this week for the Pelicans is going to be Mr. Zion Williamson. And part of why I picked him, beyond the obvious of I feel like he's not only a player to watch for the Pelicans, but just around the league, everyone is kind of starting to tune in and say, man, this guy is looking like Duke Zion. How much fun is this going to be? You know, he had a couple bumps in the road this week, past week that we talked about in the games in Florida. But now that he's out of the Sunshine State, this week the Pelicans are playing OKC, Milwaukee, and Boston. You know, I'm not sure how much of these are going to be individual matchups where he's facing these guys one-on-one and defending them, but just interested to see Zion and Chet Holmgren on the same court, I think, for only the second time this season. Zion versus Giannis has been one of the most fun matchups when those two guys have both played. I feel like, I'm not sure about this season, I think Thursday's game is on NBA TV, but either TNT or NBA TV have picked up a lot of Pelicans-Bucks games over the last few years because of the Zion-Giannis matchup. And then Saturday, obviously, Zion going against, you know, Porzingis, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the star players that Boston has. So just a really fun group of opponents for Zion and some interested to see how some of these teams defend against Zion. You know, another thing too, you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about the way that some of these teams defended Zion last week. How about this, Gus? Orlando is third in the NBA in defensive efficiency. Miami's eighth. Detroit, we're not going to talk about that. They're lower towards the end of the league, but we saw how Zion did against them. But this week coming up, Boston is second in the league in defensive efficiency. Oklahoma City is fifth. Milwaukee's a ways down,
wow,
down the rankings. They've moved up a little bit since Doc Rivers took over. They're 16th. But, I mean, you're still talking about in this stretch of schedule between last week and this week, they're playing against almost every top defensive team in the league. So curious to see how some of these teams try to defend against Zion, if they try to steal some of the things from the strategy that the Heat and Magic tried against him. If that's the case, I think the fact that he's been a improved playmaker and passer this year, that'll be something that he relies on, finding open guys like Trey Murphy for open threes. So
yeah,
that's the player to watch this week. If you want to move to the player of the week,
yes,
from last week, we have such an interesting race as we record this right now.
Okay.
The four candidates that I put out there from the 3-1 week of beating the Nets, Heat, and Pistons with a loss to the Magic were Herb Jones, averaged 1.3 steals, Najee Marshall plus 28, plus minus, C.J. McCollum shot 51% on threes, and Zion averaged 22 points a game. Now, we have a exact tie right now as we record this, with Najee and C.J. both have 32% of the votes. There's about 21 hours left in the poll, so make sure you get your ballot in and vote for who you think should have been the player of the week. But just a credit to Najee that, you know, he has a chance to be player of the week, which I think would be the first time for him this season. CJ's won it a couple times, and he's also a very viable candidate, but kind of shows you a little bit about how good of a week that the Pelicans had, that Zion coming off a 36-point game against Detroit is third right now in the voting, and Herb, with all the stuff that he did, is fourth. So once again, it was another week where there could have been more than four guys, but X only allows you to put four options in there.
Sure.
So
yeah,
right now we have quite a race in 2024 between Najee and CJ.
Well, that also tells you how deep this team is, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, I think maybe there could be some write-in votes for, you know, Jose, the work that he did, right, Larry Nance, yeah, that he did. Jonas had some really good moments.
You know what? I
want
to write-in vote for you. You were out and about twice with the people this week. Twice.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun, you know.
Man of the people.
It's definitely a different environment. I'm so used to being locked in and focused, but it was fun being around the fan base.
Yeah,
for
no
sure.
Doubt. Last Jim Eichenhofer, give a follow over there on X, Jim_Eichenhofer, and of course, Pelicans.com. We will be back with you on Wednesday, hopefully talking about a Pelicans victory tomorrow night that will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm Gus Kattengill. That's Jim Eichenhofer. Thank you for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.